John, who gives us a picture of all those who come after you in the office of the Holy Ministry, preaching your word and ministering your gifts. We beg you, O Lord, that you would always give to your church faithful pastors to preach your word, those who boldly, like John, without compromise, are willing to preach your law and proclaim your sweet gospel. We ask all these things in your holy, your precious name, O Lord. Amen. Opening hymn 345.
Service setting 1, page 151. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you and God, word and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We do not deserve your presence in our life.
Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all your sins. As a called, ordained servant of Christ, and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together the intro for the days you find at the front of your bulletin insert. peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for our scripture readings.
The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Advent is from Isaiah, chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual for this day.
You who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth. Stir up your might and come to save us. Give ear, O Shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock.
The epistle is from 1 Corinthians, chapter 4. This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answered them, Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. This is the gospel of the Lord. We sing now our hymn of the day, hymn 344. Please be seated.
This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this third Sunday in Advent comes from the epistle lesson read a few moments ago. From the fourth chapter of Paul's first letter to the Church of God in Corinth, dear friends, in Christ. The pastoral candidate's paperwork sat on a table in the fellowship hall in preparation for an upcoming call meeting. What you read about this pastor is more than a bit concerning. He has a habit of dressing quite strangely, and personal hygiene isn't all that high on his list of priorities. He doesn't look polished at all. In fact, his appearance is quite wild and unsettling. He almost looks like a vicar. His preaching is abrasive, non-compromising. He spends a lot of his time talking about sin and calling people to repentance. He even criticized the local politician and landed himself in some hot water. Controversial is too soft of a word to use for this guy. And as if that weren't enough, one day he had the audacity to tell a group of visitors, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" If you want your church to grow, if you want people to feel comfortable, if you want everyone to be happy, this isn't your guy. His name? John the Baptist. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see?" Jesus asks. "What did you expect? A reed shaken by the wind?" Do you think that pastors are there to bend with the wind? To move as you want them to dance to your tune? What did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? What do you expect from those who serve the church? What standard do you judge them by? Do they look the part? Do they have the charisma, the personality that gets people fired up? Do they bring in the youth? Or the dollars? Or pack the pews? They work for us, right? If we hired them, then we can evaluate them like we do any other employee. And if they don't pass, then we fire them. It was very recently that I read this sad phrase on the internet somewhere. Another day, another faithful pastor kicked out of his parish. Now, I don't know the details. I'm not sure what exactly happened. But I can make a few guesses based on the countless examples of others. He probably didn't have that winning personality that people were looking for. He may have had some difficulty at times relating to others. Maybe he pointed out the wrong sin. Or maybe he pointed out the sin of the wrong person. Maybe he preached about greed and upset the biggest donor. Maybe he told the church president's daughter to stop living with her boyfriend. Maybe he chants, oh, the horror. Or he quotes Luther too much in his sermons. Maybe attendance and offerings are down and they need a scapegoat. And he's it. Maybe he isn't Pastor So-and-so from 20 years ago. The glory days that everyone remembers. And so we kick him to the curb. We work out a generous or less than generous severance package. And we leave him and his family to go find a job at Walmart or a restaurant or a factory. Or anywhere else. Good jobs, but not the job that he was originally called to do. And we wait for the district to send us a bright, shining, new, soft-clothed Messiah who will take us to the promised land. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? Jesus asks. We didn't go out to see faithfulness. We didn't go out to see success, that's for sure. We went out to see success, that's for sure. Popularity, charisma. We cast out faithful pastors because they don't measure up. They don't meet our standards. And instead, we scratch our itching ears on the words of faithless shepherds that do fulfill our expectations. If we expect charm and prosperity from our pastors, then we're going to follow slick words wherever they lead. Why else do false teachers pack sanctuaries week after week? Some even converted basketball arenas. They sell millions of books. They land TV interviews. Their offering income is greater than some countries. These guys live up to what we want in a pastor. They look the part. And the results, well, they seemingly speak for themselves. We hired them, and so they are to be judged by our standards, right? Wrong. This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Those who have spiritual oversight over the church of Christ, those who serve her as pastors and ministers of the word, are not answerable to you or to me. They are servants of Christ. They are stewards of the mysteries of God. They are Christ's servants, given specific tasks by Him to care for His church and deliver His gifts to you. They are His stewards, charged with administering the mysteries of God for your benefit. A steward is one who cares for things which are not his own, things that belong to another. A steward is always under orders. A steward has a master to whom he is accountable. And that master has one standard. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. A steward is judged on his faithfulness. His faithfulness to his master. His faithfulness to his task. A steward is accountable to his master and no one else. Listen to what St. Paul says. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. I'm not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. A steward doesn't even judge himself, evaluating his own service on the basis of his own success. Everything I've said about evaluating stewards also counts for a steward's self-evaluation of his own ministry. The only judgment, the only standard that matters is that of the master who gave him the task. And that standard is faithfulness. Faithfulness to the Word of God. Faithfulness to the task. Faithfulness to the master. And so, dear friends, I have one word for you this day. Flee unfaithful stewards. Flee them. Stop your ears to them, for their words are poison. You do not judge them on your own standards, but according to the word of God. If a steward is unfaithful, flee from him. Remove him from office. Get him out of the pulpit. Stop the poison from flowing into the ears of God's people. If a pastor is teaching falsely, or if he is leading a scandalous life not befitting his office, then look to God's standard and remove him. The last day will reveal his work, no matter how nice and shiny it may look now. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord will stand forever. The standard for judgment isn't the fleeting words or ideas of men. It is the word of God, the one thing which stands forever, the word of God which will never pass away. St. Paul says, "Do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation before God." The work of a faithful steward will often look pitiful and insignificant, just as the work of an unfaithful steward will look impressive. Now, I don't want you to get me wrong. There are certainly faithful stewards who do have charisma and personality. There are faithful stewards who preach to full sanctuaries, who carry up offering plates so they can barely carry for its abundance. There, the danger is actually more subtle, that you would follow the man and his success rather than the word that he preaches. That you would be attracted by the cult of personality. A cult of personality can grow up around a faithful pastor just as easily around as around an unfaithful one. That you would follow the cult of personality rather than the proclamation of the gospel that goes forth from that place. Don't judge by your eyes. The last day will reveal all unfaithful stewards as false teachers who have corrupted faith, who have built houses made of straw. While the faithful steward, as much as he as may have been looked down upon by the world, as much as he may look down upon himself, will be shown as a workman on the house of God, his bride, the church. This is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Listen to faithful stewards. As Christ calls on you to flee and even remove unfaithful stewards, so he calls on you to listen to and support his faithful servants. Why? Because they bring you Jesus. "What then did you go out to see?" Jesus asks. "Were you looking for soft clothing, success, prosperity? Or were you looking for faithfulness?" "What then did you go out to see? A prophet?" "Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.'" A faithful messenger points you to Jesus. That's why Jesus is so concerned that his messengers be faithful, because it is their task to steward God's mysteries for your good. The mystery is that there is one God in three persons. The mystery is that God would adopt you as His child through the washing of the water with the Word. The mystery is that when you receive bread and wine, it is Christ's body and blood. The mystery is that God would take flesh for you. The mystery is that He would take your sin upon Himself. The mystery is that Jesus is both God and man and your sin bearer. And the ultimate mystery is the cross. That in weakness and seeming foolishness, Christ saves you. The mystery is that your judgment of yourself doesn't count. It doesn't matter. The mystery is that other people's judgment of you doesn't count. Doesn't matter. Going back to St. Paul, I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. It is not man who judges you. It's not even your heart. It is God who judges you. And He has already judged you not guilty by judging His Son guilty in your place. Guilty of your every sin. The mystery, that mystery is the gospel. That mystery is your salvation. And the stewards of Christ are charged to bring that mystery to you. To administer God's mysteries for your eternal benefit. God loves you so much that He holds His servants to the standard of faithfulness. He wants no poison mingled in the waters of life. He doesn't want you led astray. He wants you to live with Him forever. And while this salvation is kept hidden from the world, secret from the eyes of men, a day is coming when all will be made clear. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. On that day, you will receive your commendation, your salvation. On that day, all will see that it is the Word of God which stands forever along with you, all those who believe that Word. You will endure forever. In the name of Jesus, amen. Having heard the Word, we stand and we confess our common Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, page 158. I believe in one God, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, I am to all things remain, who for us men, and for our salvation, came down from heaven. God, we give thanks for all your goodness and bless you for the love that sustains us from day to day. We praise you for the gift of your Son, our Savior, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, for your holy church, for the means of grace, for the lives of all faithful and just people, and for the hope of the life to come. Help us to treasure in our hearts all that you have done for us, and enable us to show our thankfulness in lives that are wholly given to your service. Lord, in your mercy,
save
and defend your whole church, purchased with the precious blood of Christ. Strengthen your faithful people through the word and the holy sacraments, making them perfect in love and in all good works, and establishing in them the faith once delivered to the saints. Lord, in your mercy, grant your wisdom and heavenly grace to all pastors and those who hold office in your church, that they would be faithful, that they would be faithful. Lord, in your mercy, preserve our nation in justice and honor, that we may lead a peaceable life with integrity. Grant health and favor to all who bear office in our land, especially President Trump and the Congress of the United States, Governor Ricketts and the legislature of this state, and to all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Help them to serve this people according to your holy will. Lord, in your mercy, by your word and Holy Spirit, comfort all who are in sorrow or need, sickness or adversity, especially those who have requested our prayers. Be with those who suffer persecution for the faith here and around the world. Have mercy on those to whom death draws near. Bring consolation to those in sorrow, and grant to all a measure of your love, taking them into your tender care. Lord, in your mercy, all these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of Him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore.
Amen.
You may be seated. At this time, we ask you to participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. There's a pad at the end of each pew. If you would please pass it along and sign in. If you're a guest or visitor, we're glad to have you with us this day. We ask that you provide us your contact information so we can acknowledge your presence with us this day. At this time also, out of the bounty that our Lord has given to us, we render back to Him our gifts and our offerings.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way that John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and calling sinners to repentance that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat His body and drink His blood, as he bids us to do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." The same way he also took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strength preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Please stand. We continue the Nunc Dimittis on page 165. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in this kingdom which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated. And we close with hymn 338, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.
Once again, welcome. We have a couple of announcements, just a couple of announcements for today. First of all, we'll be continuing our Bible study on justifying Christmas in the Fellowship Hall. No adult catechism class. We're concluded with that for the time being. Cookie dough, I see, is ready to be picked up if you placed an order. That's in the fridge and should have your name on it, I believe. Real briefly, I want to just go over the schedule for the next couple of weeks. You should have, I can't remember if it's a green or what, I forgot to bring it along. You have an insert telling you about the different times of our services for Christmas and New Year's. On Sunday, this coming Sunday, regular morning schedule, 8 a.m., 10:30 services, and then Sunday school Bible class in between. And then our evening will be our usual Christmas Eve schedule, 4 o'clock and 7 o'clock Christmas Eve services with communion. Monday morning at 9 a.m. Christmas Day service with communion. And then the next week we will just have our regular Sunday morning schedule. We'll not have our evening New Year's Eve service. We'll just have services in the morning. I want to thank Pastor Russert for his help again today. Pastor Poppy and Barb should be coming back from California in the next couple of days, so pray for safe travel for them, and the Lord be with you as we continue to rejoice in our coming King. God's blessings.